She's as unhinged back there as she was during announcements. God only knows. Man, it's like she missed being here so bad. All right. Hey, good to see you today. I want to invite you to grab your Bibles, if you would. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke 15. And we're going to take a look at a story that Jesus told that I'd like to unpack here today. The title of my message is, When Love Comes Looking. When Love Comes Looking. Luke 15 is kind of an interesting chapter in the Bible because it's a story about lost things. We've got the lost sheep here that we're going to read. Right after that, there's a very short story about a lost coin. And then we have the lost son or the prodigal son. All those three very popular stories are all in Luke 15. Some people call it the lost chapter, if you will. And today I want us to take a look real close at what Jesus had to say as he taught this parable. Now, Jesus often spoke in stories, we call them parables, in order to convey his message a lot more clearly to those that were listening to him and to those that were around him when he was telling it. And this morning, we are going to see the story of a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one got lost and what took place as a result of that. And I think you will be blessed to hear this as we unpack this together. So, if you're able to, I'm going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word as we read this together. Luke 15, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to go to verse 7. Here's what it says. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Let's pray. Jesus, as we unpack the story that you told, I pray, God, that the truth of your word would just come alive in all of us here today. And God, I'll thank you as we see that your love chases after us. And I thank you so much for that. May that come alive in all of us here today, I pray. And it's in your wonderful name that we pray this. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before I go any further, I want to just emphasize what Pastor Nicole shared earlier, is that I'm excited that we can baptize people in just a few weeks here. And if you'd like to be baptized, this would be a phenomenal thing for you. As she said, it's not salvation when you go under the water. I do not hold you down very long, by the way. But what it is, it's an outward expression about what Jesus has done in you inwardly is what it is. And I have never had so many people who have actually, in their visitor card, have told me, I want to get baptized. Or they've come to me personally and say, I want to get baptized. Or my kids want to get baptized. I'm excited about this. So you mark that day on your calendar because our baptism services are pretty exciting around here, and it'll be really good. So keep that in your prayers. Okay, let's go back to our message, okay? Luke 15, the lost sheep. Jesus is in the midst of hanging out with some people that the religious leaders were not very happy that he was doing so, and that prompted him to tell this story. And After reading all this, I'd like to kind of break this passage down in just four parts here today and take a look at four parts of Jesus' story that I think can help us even more fully see what Jesus was trying to say here, but also the circumstances that were kind of around him at this time. Let me show you what I mean, okay? First of all, I want to take a look at the compassion of Jesus. The compassion of Jesus. Now, where do I get that? It's in verse 1. I love this. It says, now the tax collectors and the sinners, some translations actually put quote marks around the word sinners. Other translations say the publicans, not the Republicans, okay, but the publicans, but the sinners, they were all gathering around to hear Jesus. So what was going on here? Jesus had some folks that were not well thought of by the Jewish leaders and maybe even the Jewish people. Let's remind ourselves that tax collectors were kind of seen as people that were betraying their own people. They were kind of ripping people off when it was time to collect a tax to go from where you're at to where you need to go. They would maybe just add a little bit for themselves, and they were considered crooks. If you want to be honest with you, they were not well thought of. And it was these people that were hanging out with Jesus and the, quote, sinners, whatever that means. We do know from the scripture that Jesus had no problem talking to people that were not only tax collectors, but people who had a pretty checkered past. Maybe even prostitutes, maybe even people that were considered the outcast in society. And what does that tell me? That tells me this: Jesus loves lost people. Jesus loves lost people. And we as his followers should also love lost people. Can you say amen? I want you to remind yourselves that one does not have to get cleaned up first in order to come to Jesus. That's not how it works. It'd almost be like me washing my car before I took it to the car wash. Wouldn't really make sense, would it? In the same way, we bring our lives, whatever it is about our lives, whether it's good or bad, whether it is checkered, whether we have a bad reputation or not, whether we've made huge mistakes or not, we bring that all to Jesus. And here's what we find with our lives, that even though others may not love us or like us or want to be around us, Jesus very much loves us and wants to be near us, and he wants us to be around him. I'm amazed how many, quote, sinners were attracted to the presence of Jesus. Jesus loves lost people. Romans 5, verse 8, it emphasizes this very much so, where it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Now, so many of us have read that verse and heard that verse quoted over and over. It's almost like a cliche, but hear me today. While you were still a sinner, Christ loved you. Before you got saved, Jesus loved you. While you were a train wreck, well, some of you still might be a train wreck, but you're now a sanctified train wreck, right? So while you were still a mess, Jesus loved you. Church, if we see this about Jesus, and if we call him our Lord, and we call ourselves his followers, then that love for lost people that Jesus had demonstrated there in the scriptures and still has is the same love for lost people that we should have as well. So if there's somebody who doesn't know Jesus, we don't judge them. We don't say, ew, I don't want to get around them because I'll get their sinner cooties all over me. Ew. That's not how it works. My goodness, you are stronger than that. You've got the Holy Spirit within you. And it's about time that if we call ourselves Spirit-filled, that we live by the fruit of the Spirit. as we deal with people. People will be drawn to the presence of God. You reflect the presence of God. There are people that don't know Jesus just yet whom you can influence for Jesus Christ. You need to have a love for them. We need to have an understanding for them. Look, there are lost people. They don't understand this whole thing. They don't get it, and that's okay. It's okay. Let's love them. I'm reminded in the scripture that it's the Lord's kindness that leads us to repentance. Could it be that as Jesus showed love and compassion to lost people, that we as his followers should embrace the same thing? God, if there's somebody who doesn't know you yet, we're going to love them. We care about them. We want to see them make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Can you say amen to that? So the first thing we see before we even get into the story is the compassion of Jesus. He loves lost people. But secondly, we see the criticism of the religious. We saw the compassion of Jesus, but now we're seeing the criticism of religious people. Here they are again, the Pharisees. And look how they were, see, because here's the deal, okay? We should all be like, wow, praise God. All of these people who are far from God, they're showing an interest in what Jesus has to say to them. And then look at verse 2. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. You ever mutter? Okay. They muttered, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. How horrible. That's it though. See, we're not religious here. Okay, we're not religious. We have a relationship with Jesus, okay? Religion is judgmental. A relationship with Jesus is quite the opposite. It's merciful. We show love. We show compassion like Jesus did. And I've seen churches, not this one, never this one. In the 25 years I've been here, this has never been the case, so I'm not talking about y'all. But I have seen other churches where they will see somebody who is just caught up in all kinds of sin, steeped in sin. They have just made some awful decisions and their life is a wreck for it, and they will judge them. They don't want to be around them. Oh, we don't want that kind here. What is wrong with you? Seriously, what is wrong with you? Who do you think Jesus died for? Your prideful self? My goodness. The last thing we need is for the church, which is, by the way, what Jesus created, and I still believe is the number one way, most effective way for people to find Jesus Christ. It's the office of the church. It's the church. It's the establishment of the church. Jesus said, this church that I have built, the gates of hell will not be able to handle it, prevail against it. We are a force for the Lord. We're not just some country club. We're not just some religious club singing kumbaya and eating casseroles every week and waiting until we die to go to heaven. That's not who we are. The casseroles sound good, but hear me, okay? We are much more than that. We got to have a mission, church. And our mission is not to have some kumbaya club. Our mission is to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's what Jesus has commissioned us to do, is to make disciples, to take people who are lost and try to find them, which leads me to number 3. Oh, I left out that awesome point. Thank you, Christina. Did you see how the sinners drew near while the religious drew lines? That's how you know. That's how you know whether your faith in God is genuine or not. Do we draw near to God or we draw lines? Ooh, no. No, they're too sinful. Nobody is outside of the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody. Nobody. I've seen too much. I've seen God change too many lives. I've seen God work things out when I didn't think he would work things out. I saw, quote, lost cases where Jesus found them and God saved them and changed their lives completely. You cannot convince me that there is any single person outside of the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. There's not one. And now that leads me to number three. I want to look at the commitment of the shepherd in this story. Because this shepherd here is actually, it's a look into who Jesus is. Jesus is represented in his own story by the shepherd. So here's the deal, okay? Look at verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? We're called sheep. It's not the greatest compliment in the world. Okay? They're cute. Exhibit A. Okay? But sheep don't always have the best decision-making skills at all. You notice Jesus didn't call us dolphins, right? They're smart. But no, he called us sheep. I remind my pastor friends, guys, because they say, why do they do this? I'm just saying, they're sheep, not dolphins. And so sheep. So how many of you know sometimes there are certain animals like sheep that can wander off and get lost? Now, here's the deal. Our 21st century mindset would say, that's a bummer, but still got 99, right? That's okay. You know, statistically, you're batting 990, Jesus. Okay. Why even worry about the one? And that, folks, when it comes to people's lives, that is that religious spirit talking. When the sheep wandered off from the rest of the herd, the shepherd made the effort to find the lost sheep. Jesus makes the effort to find the lost sheep. I think our picture of Jesus tends to get a little wonky sometimes. That's a theological term, wonky. And because we think he's just kind of sitting on his throne, you know, taking in whatever he takes in, eating grapes. And if someone wanders off, he's like, oh, that's a shame. Hope they come back. And he just kind of lets it go from there. Oh, bummer. They're making these bad choices. Oh, no, they shouldn't have done that. And that's not Jesus. When one of us wanders, Jesus will do everything he can to go after you. Jesus makes the effort to find the lost because he loves you. You are worth it. Can I speak to two groups of people here today? To those of you who, there's someone close to you who has strayed. A child, a parent, a friend, a spouse, a grandchild. And they were with the herd. They were living for Jesus. But right now, for some reason, They have wandered off. I'm going to tell you something, that God honors your prayers for them. Now listen, if you're serious about praying for them, that they find Jesus again, and that they allow him to find them. Because how many of you know, some people try to hide from Jesus. Right? There's wandering, and then sometimes, because they know better, they try to hide because they think, if I just keep distant from Jesus, maybe he'll leave me alone. And some of you, you've been in that place where you were that wandering sheep, and you were miserable. You were just... life was terrible. No matter how many times you try to justify it, it was terrible. And do you know what I say to that? Good. Good. Because that sometimes is what it takes for us to come back to Christ. You'll notice later in this story, the prodigal son, who found himself in a pig pen wanting to eat pig food. That's not a good day. That's miserable. But it was that existence in that story that caused the prodigal son to come to his senses and come back to his father. Hear me today. Jesus will do what it takes for our strays to come back to the herd. And sometimes it won't be comfortable. I'm just going to tell you, if you're waiting for them to wake up one day to a bright light from heaven shining through their window and Billy Graham preaching in the background as the choir sings "Just As I Am," and they come forward and he says, "If you came by bus, they'll wait." And if you think all that's going to happen, millennials, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's okay. If you're waiting for that, I'm just telling you that's not always going to be the case. They may have to lose everything before they find Jesus again. Are you willing to pray for that? Well, that's not fair. I just want them to be happy. I just want them... No, see, Jesus cares so much more about your spirit and your soul than how comfortable you are. See, because what's most important to Jesus about every human being is that when they die, they go to heaven. Rich or poor, comfortable, uncomfortable, whatever the case might be, Jesus wants all of mankind to go to heaven. He does not want any person to go to hell. And so as you pray, understand, you're not telling Jesus how to do it. Please don't ever tell Jesus how to do anything, because oftentimes he'll do just the opposite of what you're asking. In fact, he'll get the job done better. So when you pray, you pray. Pray that Jesus does what it takes. I'm not saying that everybody has to have a prodigal son moment. I'm not saying that everybody has to lose everything before they find Christ. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. Whatever it takes for our loved ones to find Jesus again, we need to pray for that. And perhaps here in this auditorium, and maybe those of you who are watching us online, you've wandered. You've walked away. And you find yourself either in this building or watching this video. And you know that right now you're not in the place where you should be with Jesus. May I tell you that there is a God, there is a shepherd who has been after you since the day you came up missing. There is a God who loves you and cares about you and desperately wants you back in the fold again. There's a story. I think it's true. We'll pretend it is. But there's a story of some Navy SEALs that were in a raft in the middle of the ocean, I'm told. And unfortunately, one, for some reason, had fallen out of the raft and found himself in the middle of the ocean, and his friends were trying to get him back into the water. Unfortunately, they were shark-infested waters. And What proceeded to take place was actually very, very hard to watch, because the shark would grab the man by the leg and take him down into the water, and his friends in the boat would not see where he was until he popped up elsewhere nearby. Then they would make their way, try to make their way over to their friend again, and then once again, he would go under the water until his predator, the shark, would let him back up somewhere else in the water. And time after time, the Navy SEALs would try to find their friend, and down he'd go until one moment the predator, the shark, made a terrible, calculated, he thought, but a very critical error. There was one moment where he let the man back up too close to the boat, and they let him in finally. If there's anybody here, you've drifted from the boat, and the enemy has been toying with you, dragging you down and dragging you down and dragging you down, and it seems like you're never going to make it, and maybe that's your life right now. I've got news for you. The enemy of your soul made a huge, terrible mistake this morning. He let you up too close to the boat that is Bethel Church of Talmadge. And today, God wants to bring you back, and he wants you to make your choice to live for Jesus instead of being dragged around by the predator, to live for Jesus Christ again. And today is the day for you to allow Jesus to find you again. Jesus will make every effort to come after you. Finally today, I want to take a look at the celebration of heaven. The celebration of heaven. That's the wrong slide, but that's okay. I know. I made the mistake. Never watch football when you're making your graphics for a sermon. Touchdown, where? Oh. The celebration of heaven. Look at verses 5 through 7. That's going to bother me all day. When he finds it, when the shepherd finds the sheep, look how he responds. He joyfully puts it on his shoulders. He goes home. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together, and he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And then Jesus gets out of the story, and he gives us reality in verse 7. "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." I think I've grown up in church all my life, okay? I get tired of the golf clap when somebody gets saved. "Oh, we had one person get saved. Oh, what's this?" All of heaven stops and rejoices when one person gives their life to Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying here today? And the church, I think, needs to get excited about what excites heaven. And so if somebody gives their life to Christ, that is the greatest miracle that could take place in this building. And we should celebrate that, and we should thank God for that. Thank God that we were a part of that. Thank God that we saw that. And hear me today. Hear me today. We should be thankful for the one. Last year at the giveaway, we saw 165 people raise their hands to make a decision for Jesus Christ. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But let me tell you something. If only one did, all of heaven rejoiced, would you? I think we need to see the importance of the one again. I think we need to see the importance of you inviting someone to church so that they can find Christ. And let me tell you something. From now on, every time, Every time you come to church, there will be a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There will be a chance for someone to give their lives to Jesus Christ. We've got to do that. The time is short. Can you say amen? And so we've got to be a part of this as well. And then when that one person gives their life to Jesus Christ, we say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. And let me show you what happened to the lost sheep. The lost sheep. Number one, the lost sheep was loved. The shepherd took the lost sheep just the way he was. He was probably dirty. He's probably shook up a little bit. And you know what? When we come to Christ, when anybody comes to Christ, he'll take them just as they are. Warts and all the baggage, he takes it. He takes it. And then, you know what happens? You know what happens? He starts us on this journey. He starts that sheep back on a journey where he will carry them and take them back. The lost sheep was loved. The lost sheep was also lifted. He actually took the sheep and he didn't say, okay, now try to keep up. And while we're on our way back to the field, boy, do I have a lecture for you. That's we don't read that. But he carried the lost sheep. And then he went home with the sheep. Understand, when a lost sheep is found by Jesus, Jesus picks them up, carries them, and he will walk with them. He will walk with them in that journey until they fully get home. Do you hear what I'm saying today? You are not alone in this whole thing. Those of you who've recently given your life to Jesus Christ, and we got a few of those in here. Those of you who have recently made a decision for Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. Jesus has not said, yay, woo, all right, see you in heaven. He's walking with you. He's carrying you. He wants to teach you. He wants to guide you. He wants to give you wisdom when you need it. He wants to give you support when you need it. He wants to protect you when you don't even realize you need protected. He wants to be your shield. He wants to be your strong tower. He wants to be your source of security. He wants to be your identity, not something else on earth. He wants to be your identity. That's the beauty of the shepherd. He carries us. He lifts us. And he takes us home. And friend, if you think that you can't do this Christianity thing, I gotta tell you, by yourself you can't. But you don't have to do it by yourself because you are being carried by the Good Shepherd. The lost sheep was loved. He was lifted. And then finally he was located where he had to be to begin with. He was brought home. He was brought home. When Jesus does the work, he does the work completely. Aren't you glad that the shepherd didn't go in the woods and say, hey, found him, and just walked away? How crazy would that be? He's still just as lost as he was before the shepherd saw him. That's not what our good shepherd does. He locates us, he finds us, he carries us, he takes us home. Takes us home. All of heaven celebrates. All of heaven celebrates when one person repents. Church, that should cause you to either, number one, let Jesus find you, or number two, pray like crazy for the lost sheep in your life. And that's how we'll respond today. Jonathan, will you help me out? Love will come looking for anything, anyone, I should say, who has strayed from the shepherd. Today, I imagine there are people here today. You've got a loved one in your life. I know I do. You've got a loved one in your life who has strayed from God. And they need to be found. You're not sure what it's going to take. The one that's heavy on my heart, it's quite rich, doesn't think he needs anything. So I'm praying that he could be brought to the place where he realizes he needs a Savior again. And I don't know what that will be, but I'm trusting God for that. You may have a child or a grandchild to pray for today. Will you do that today? You may have a friend. You may have a parent. You may have a grandparent who today, they're not with Jesus. Today is the day to pray for them. And then tomorrow, we pray for them. And then the next day, we pray for them. And we keep praying and we keep praying until the shepherd finds that lost sheep. And oh, when it happens, you know what? Tell you what, you know who the glory goes to? It doesn't go to this pastor. It doesn't go to this church. It may not even happen because of this church. Somebody else might be used by God, maybe from a whole different country. Tony, I'm hearing stories right now of how people are finding Jesus. Jesus is at work. I'm telling you, the Good Shepherd is at work right now. He's doing what he can through any means possible for people to find him again. So don't you dare stop praying for your wandering sheep in your life. And today is the day to make a new commitment to do that. And today, if you are not where you should be with Jesus, today is the day for you to come back and let the shepherd find you and pick you up and bring you back to where you need to be with him. Today's the day. Would you stand, all of us, please? Let's bow our heads. Can we do that? Close our eyes. This morning, just feel really compelled. If there is anyone here today, you are not where you should be with Jesus Christ. You have wandered from him. And maybe this has been a process. Maybe this has been going on for quite some time. Or maybe it's just kind of recent. But you've wandered. And you need Jesus to forgive you. You need to make a brand new decision for Jesus Christ again. A brand new commitment or a recommitment. But today's the day to do that. No one looking around, but I wonder today if that is you, and you need Jesus to forgive you today and to come back to where you should be with the shepherd. If that's you, I won't embarrass you, I promise, but if that's you, could you slip your hand up and put it right back down? That's all I need you to do. I want to pray for you. You'll say, Pastor, I need Jesus right now to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are going up. Are there others? I'm not where I should be with Jesus, and I want to be today. Very quickly. Friend, is there someone in your life whom you could take some moments this morning to pray for before you leave this place? Somebody that God has put on your heart. You might be related to them. You might be close to them. You might work with them. You might go to see them on campus, students, whatever the case might be. But is there someone you can lift up to the Lord? I'm not asking you to pray for 100 people. I'm just asking you, will you pray for the one today? Because Jesus cares about the one. So will you pray today for that one? How many, with just an upraised hand, say, you know what, Pastor, I can pray for the one in my life. If that's you, yes, yes, hands are going up. I can pray for the one. I can pray for my son. I can pray for my daughter. I can pray for my grandchild. I can pray for my coworker. I can pray for my friend on campus. I can pray for them. I can pray for them. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And those of you who need to commit your life to Jesus Christ, today is the day for you to do that. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, especially from your heart. Like you're praying it, not just repeating what I say, but praying one-on-one with Jesus today. And I want you to do that today. And then after I'm done praying, I'm gonna stop talking and give you a chance to talk to Jesus about that one in your life. And please, let's not leave this place until we've met with God and he with us. And let's make this a place of prayer today. So why don't you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me and caring about me. Today, I come back to you. I ask you, take me just as I am, and lead me where I need to go. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe in my heart that you've risen from the dead. Now help me to live for you every day. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord God, I'm asking you that you would meet with us this morning before we leave here. God, as we lift up our one to you, God, I ask you that you would do what it takes for our one to find you again. God, that you would do what it takes so they could find you as Lord and Savior. Whether it means they're uncomfortable or maybe they just have that moment where they realize they need you. God, whatever it takes, I ask you, God, that you would become real in that person's life. So God, honor the prayers of your people in these next few moments. And God, may we pray for them again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and keep on praying until they're found again. So God, meet with us now, I ask you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. If you need to pray, feel free to do so right now. You can come to this altar. You can pray at your seat. Let's make this a place of prayer. If God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. God bless you.